Send in the orders of the sword of the Lord, and if you'd like the sword, it's only $7 for the year, for yourself or for others if you'd like to. We have many, many subscriptions. Brother Hammond said, I don't have mine in yet, so I'll be getting it in by this week. Renewal. So I trust you take the advantage. There's very little good Christian literature in the homes, and we need to get all we can into our homes so we can get the spiritual help we need. Turn to Hebrews, please, with me. Hebrews. Great, great chapter on faith, but we want to consider the before, after, and the middle being the 11th chapter, kind of like the 12th, 13th, 14th chapter, and you're considering the gifts of the Spirit and all in 1 Corinthians. Here we have 10th chapter, I believe, is really speaking out and starting to get us in gear for the 11th chapter, the chapter of the heroes of the faith, and then goes on and tells us in the 12th chapter that Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. So he starts it and he finishes it. By the way, Romans 1 says from faith to faith. I believe that's the verse, from faith to faith. Many interpretations about that, but this is tremendous. A faith chapter. If you get discouraged, you do well to read the 11th chapter of Hebrews and get yourself encouraged. I think we have some we'll see in these places some encouragement. The Bible says that the Old Testament saints are examples, like examples to us to help us to walk as we ought to walk. Let's stand and just read one verse then in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. So we'll start at the end and go backwards. Hebrews 12 and verse 2. I'll tell you, Jesus is the center of it all. Amen. He's the beginner and he's the finisher, author and finisher. Let's read just verse 2 of chapter 12 in unison, please. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. The throne of God. Amen. Maybe you read it again. I left some words out there. All right? Let's read it again. And that special emphasis on the finisher of our faith, or you see that, as we said in the Sunday school hour this morning, you see that's in italics, that the translators were honest there. They could not, it was very difficult to get the exact word, the author of faith. Jesus is the author and the finisher of faith. Amen. And it speaks about our faith. That word, I believe, should be in there. I'm just saying that that's in italics. That's what that's for. They had a hard time getting an exact word from the Greek and Hebrew, this would be Greek, of course, into the English language. And so the translators, I believe, were very honest when they did it. Let's read it again, please. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Let's pray. Father, bless your word. We thank thee for the power of the Holy Spirit. We thank thee for the power of the Word of God. Bless it to our hearts. I pray as we consider this matter of faith and this matter of testing, this matter of trials, tribulations in this life, I pray, dear God, that you'll just give us some help, some strength, some encouragement from these who have walked before us. And then, Lord, may it all point us to the author and finisher of our faith, the Lord Jesus. May we realize how much He suffered, how much He endured for us. We'll thank Thee for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Also, please pray for Charles Moe. We saw him today, and he is getting out next, not this coming Wednesday, but the Wednesday after the 18th. Pray for him, please, in his situation. I'm sure you'd want prayer. Pray for him. God would work. We've offered him all our help and assistance that we can be to him. Chapter 10, verse 23 says, verse 19 is where we were in the Sunday school hour this morning, went down through the 25th verse, but I'd like us to go back to 23. It says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. God help us to get out of ourselves and to love others. So we've, in our Sunday school verses, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy what? Heart first, with all thy soul, and then with all thy might. And you, as we said in the New Testament, as it's quoted by the New Testament writers, it says all thy mind, here all thy in thy strength. Can you imagine that? To love God with all your might. Just kind of, when you think of might, I think of somebody doing a weightlifting or something. But this is, we love the Lord God with all our might, everything, all our strength, all our mind, everything. And then we have this verse. This falls in line with the second greatest commandment: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And we preached the other week again on the wickedness of suicide. Preached the whole message on it. Was that Wednesday night? Preached on suicide, the wickedness and the selfishness of it, and the terrible and moral thing. And we should love ourselves. It's natural to love yourself. It's unnatural for you to try to do away with your life. The devil tried to fight me. I'm preaching that. I know I preached the right message. You have two people profess faith in the Lord. I didn't try to talk about getting saved much. God use anything. Amen. But I'll tell you what, it's becoming an epidemic in this country. And I'm going to preach on it. God leads me to the wickedness. We went and covered many scriptures. Samson. Saul and many others did that. But I'll tell you what, it's natural for you. If you want to be spiritual, you should love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. And then we ought to love our neighbor as ourselves. It just takes for granted you love yourself. And so we ought to love others as we do in others as we'd have them do in us. I think that's a major problem in our independent fundamental circles. You know, I have independent Baptist preachers all over this area, and they treat a liberal lost, a Lutheran or Methodist, or even if he be Baptist, whatever he was, they treat them better than they would this preacher. Selfishness and jealousy. I want to have more people than you have. I don't want to have any more here than God wants us to have here. Amen? Might get the wrong ones. Amen? We're praying, God, send us who you want us to have, who would love the Lord and love the Bible, and wouldn't come in just to criticize, but want to do something for the Lord God of heaven. Oh, I tell you, they all want to be the biggest. Well, not everybody can be the biggest, so you might as well just be what God wants you to be. Amen? Amen. We reach a few here and there, and bless them on their way, and they write back like Dr. Castro did. Said he got into church up there, Sheridan Avenue Baptist Church, and drove a great distance, and they put a little note in there and keep preaching it. Right, preacher, keep even if people don't like it, keep preaching it straight. I tell you, that's worth a whole year of labor, amen. Some they maybe even appreciated you. You know. He's just trying to preach for Jesus, not so they'll appreciate you, but it's nice when they do. And then they're willing when they leave here to drive all the way across town to go to the right church. That's the great church. We gave them the name of it. So the devil almost tripped them up, and they almost decided not to go there. And they went, and boy, they got all involved and liked it so much. It'd be better to drive a distance and get in on something good. You get your soul fed. It feels good when you come out of there and have it be on the victory side. Feel like you need to go out and win some souls. And I'll tell you what, that just blessed my heart. But we need to love other people. And then here it says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves. We covered that in Sunday school. Together is the manner of some is, and but exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. We ought to be faithful to get together with God's people. As we said in the Sunday school hour this morning, something to that effect, that this is a falling away. People even coming to church on Sunday night. Read it in a periodic. I don't know if it was the Maranatha Watchman or what. They said, boy, it's a hard thing. Isn't that something? I never had trouble as a lost Methodist getting to church. Why in the world should I have any trouble getting to church as a saved, heaven bound, blood washed, love the Bible, hate the devil, amen, Christian, born again Christian? I still like to get together with God's people. I like to hear the songs that were sung. Weren't they good? The girls did some nice ones. I tell you what, if some songs are a little difficult to sing, the words are beautiful. We need to get them in our heart. Amen. All the stuff I can't even drive my automobile over the post without some idiot driving up and the music's so loud. I want to say, turn that trash off! I don't say that. I'm a nice fella. I'm a preacher. And I'm supposed to be nice. But boy, I'll tell you what. Man, roll your windows up and put your Christian stuff up as loud as you can go. And if it's real Christian, it'll still sound good as loud as it'll go. It won't knock you out of the place. Amen.
Well, anyhow. Boy, we got so much to be thankful for, but we've got a changing world here. We need to exhort one another. We need to be in church. We need to be faithful. And then go on. We covered just a little bit about this in verse 28. This is in chapter 10 now, verse 28. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. And we stopped there. They had to have two or three witnesses. By the way, we've mentioned before that those witnesses that witnessed against that person so he'd be stoned to death, if they found out that they lied about it, they'd give them the same punishment for what they had done about their life. So they were very careful when they started throwing the first stone that this person was definitely guilty of what was going on. They had to have two or three, not one witness, two or three witnesses. They were laying their life on the line. So we need to follow suit. But it said, look what it says in verse 29. Of how much sore punishment suppose ye shall be he be thought worthy who hath trodden under foot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. This is not losing your salvation. This is someone who's just not saved. Look at verse 30. For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me. I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. Now look at this next verse. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Now verse 20, 32 and go on. But call to remembrance the former days in which, after ye were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of afflictions. He's talking about enduring hardness and going through battles, and then we're going to get down to the great heroes of the faith who went through all kinds of things, and yet they came out victorious in their faith. It says here, endured a great fight of afflictions, partly whilst ye were made a gazing stock both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst ye became companions of them that were so used. Now look at the next. Boy, do you ever feel like you've been used? Gone through some things? You've been treated like this? For the gospel? I'll tell you, it's all right if it's for the gospel's sake. Blessed are ye when you are reviled, persecuted. All men say evil against you falsely. What? For my sake. Not because of your attitude. Not because you're just ill that day.
just speak it out. No, it says what? For Christ's sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. We're going to see some verses in here talk about rewards too. Aren't you glad we're going to be rewarded one day for faithfulness, for enduring hardness? Boy, if we suffer with Him, we'll reign with Him. Amen. It says, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. Still a little bit of what you sow, you reap. Amen. What you give out, you get back. Sow to the wind, you reap the whirlwind. But thank the Lord. Look what it says here. He says you're a gazing stock. Have you ever been a gazing stock? You ever been? By the way, they used to put them in stocks, you know. Boy, they just look at you. Do all this for doing right. And by reproaches, afflictions. Then what does it say? Verse 34. For ye had compassion on me in my bonds. Probably some believe Paul wrote Hebrews, and this is probably one of the reasons they say, because Paul was in bonds. I don't know if Paul wrote it or not. Many good Bible commentators say that he didn't write it, but more seem to think that Paul did write it. The thing is, he doesn't have his normal beginning. You know, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, you know why Paul always did that? Because he had to vindicate his apostleship. He came so much later than the other 12. You follow me? People say, well, who are the apostles? Well, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you're too wrong already. Amen? Matthew and John, but not Mark and Luke. They came later. They came over here in the time of Paul. And so Paul came later, and so they said, you're not one of the 12, Paul. How come you're writing all these books? So Paul starts out his letter, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, called to the service. And Paul always started, and then the end he'd always say, the grace of God be with you. Grace of God. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God. He'd start that way off. And that'd be his introduction. That'd be his salutation. And Paul was always having to vindicate his apostleship because he was like one born out of due time. He came so much later, he didn't walk with the Lord Jesus. He was smitten down, you remember, on the Damascus Road. And he said, who art thou, Lord? He said, I'm Jesus whom thou persecutest. And I'll show you, you made others suffer, I'll show you how great things you must suffer for my name's sake. So Paul was not the least of the apostles, but he was the last. But he felt like the least. Because he went out and almost crucified, he at least apprehended and had him jailed and stood there and held the coats of those who stoned the deacon Stephen to death. I don't believe he ever forgot that either. Amen. Said to Stephen's face, showing his age. Said, Father, lay not the sin of their child. Just like the Lord Jesus in his death. He said, I see Jesus standing at the Father's right hand. Well, what about it? Maybe Paul wrote the book of Hebrews. I know who wrote the book of Hebrews. I know who wrote the book of Hebrews. The first word of the book tells you who wrote the book of Hebrews. Amen. Look back there. Here's who wrote the book of Hebrews. It's God. That's who wrote the book of Hebrews. Amen. Now, who he wrote it through, I don't know. He's the author. Amen. God wrote the whole Bible, by the way. Just decided who to pen it down. That's all. Amen. Oh, I get so amused. When I was a young Christian, people said, oh, did God write that book? Boy, it stunned me to death. It doesn't stun me anymore. I said, yeah, he wrote every bit of it. Some of it he wrote with his own finger. And others, he just wrote with the hand of Luke and the hand of Matthew and the hand of the others. God wrote the book. He's the author of the book. So he wrote the book. Amen. You say, who wrote that book? You get a little paper back and you say, well, it says here John Rice wrote this book. He didn't do the typing on there. He did the original copy, I'm sure. Maybe he didn't even do that. Right? Maybe he quoted it. It might have been one of his sermons. And he just did it into the dictaphone, or they did it like that, or they, a stenographer, you know how I'm talking about? They took it down, and they, he said, put that in the, I'll make a book of that. I want to send that out. And who wrote that book? I'll tell you who wrote it. The author is John Rice. Right? So he wrote the book. But he didn't maybe do any typing. He didn't cut the paper. He didn't put it together, assemble the thing. He wrote the book. My God wrote this book. Amen. Let them make fun all they want. They'll stand before that God one day and wish they never made light of this book. I love the Bible. Say, don't be critical of the Bible. Just believe it. We have enough trouble doing what we already know is in here without trying to have find fault with it. Amen? Let's find fault with the people who find fault with it. Amen? I don't like people mocking my book. Amen? God gave this book. You know, wouldn't you be upset if your wife wrote a book?
your husband wrote a book, or your uncle, your father, and he's a great Christian, wrote some Christian book, and people made fun of that book. Well, boy, this is God's book, amen.
Leave it alone. I like it. It's my love letter from heaven. I get my food here every day, and it never gets old, does it? Same all the time. But it could have been Paul. It says here, "And ye had what compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and enduring substance. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward, for ye have need of patience." I was going to give this verse out for Sunday school, maybe next week. A great verse of Scripture. "For ye have need of patience, after that you have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise." Boy, we need patience.
Should run with patience the race
of such a boy. It's one thing I didn't have much when I was a baby Christian. I think I have a little more now. I was always running ahead of the Lord, out in front of the Lord. It's not good. It's not good to be way out in front of him. You can't see him. Get lost out there. Not lost in your soul, but I mean you get lost in your way. The way you're going. It says here we need patience. Then it says, "For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry." Now look at the next verse. Great verse of Scripture. Three times at least, or four times in the Bible it's mentioned, Habakkuk and other places. Tells us, "Now the just shall live by faith." I believe it's Galatians, the other one. One time. "But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not," you see that? "But we are not of them that draw back unto perdition, but of them that what? Believe. To the saving of the soul." I believed on the Son. I have faith in the blood of the crucified, and I'm saved. Then he goes on about faith. Now, faith is the substance. It's the substance. Here's the definition of faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. That's the definition, Bible definition of faith. And then he goes on about that. "For by it," by faith, "the elders obtain a good report. Through faith we understand that the world's were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of the things which do appear." Now, the first one we see is Abel. By faith, Abel. Now, all of these, we've said at another time, all of these died to the world and to self. You know what we need to do today? We need to learn to die to ourselves and to the world. Every one of these heroes of the faith died to themselves and died to the world. May God help us to do that. Paul said, I die daily. Mortify, therefore, your members. We're to die daily. I have a hard time killing myself every day. I'm talking about my flesh, mortifying the old man. I have a hard time doing that. If we're going to be a victorious Christian, we're going to be a steadfast Christian. My own son-in-law called, and my daughter today, and my son-in-law, just in the last a year or two, you know what he said? He said, I'm so tired of these. He said, and my son-in-law is very slow, meticulous. He's Spanish. He's got Spanish blood in him. But he believes the Bible. He's a graduate of Bob Jones University. Done some work toward his master's. He knows the Bible. He loves the Lord. He's steadfast. He's a soul winner. He's loyal to his pastor. He said the last couple years, he said, you know what? He said, boy, so many preachers are changing. They used to believe this, they used to believe that, now they're changing. He said, really, really distresses me. I've only heard Ray say that a couple times. And since he and Julie got married. And I've heard him say that a couple times. I'll tell you, aren't you glad God doesn't change? Jesus Christ, right here, the same yesterday, today, and forever. We better learn to die to the flesh. Die to ourselves and die to the world. Abel died to false religion. He came and brought the blood that pleased God. Then the second one, Enoch, he died to the applause of the world. It says here, before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. We need to die to the applause of the world. Possible without faith to please God. Don't you want to please God?
You've got to have faith. Faith.
How do we get faith? Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God.
Some people go run around wagging their tongue about what some group taught them to go out and go door to door. I think of the Jehovah's Witnesses.
faith. The Word of God doesn't dwell in them richly. You don't see it just glowing on their face. Oh, Jesus, so wonderful to know Jesus.
I love to tell them about hellfire. They don't believe in hell. That's where they go one day. I just like to dangle them over the flames. Amen.
I do. Because truth is truth.
Now, they make fun of truth. They make light of hell. Oh, it's just destruction. It is not heavy. It is not either.
And then you know what they seem to just, they know just what they've been taught to say, but they don't know anything else. It seems like they're so shallow in even what they believe. But we ought to just study the Bible for ourselves and know it. And die to the applause of man. Then we ought to die to the fear of man, Noah. Don't you think a lot of people are mocking Noah? It never rained before. But he died. He died to this fear of man. Fear of man bringeth a snare. Be careful about that. When we go on visitation, we shouldn't fear men. We should fear God and fear to unnecessarily offend people. I don't think we ought to try to offend people. The gospel is offensive enough. And I'll tell you what, we better tell them about judgment. We better tell them about sin. We better tell them about hell. I'll tell you what, the more I think about it, that dear lady who's led over 500 Chinese officers to Christ and led thousands and thousands and thousands to Christ. And you know what she said? Maybe it'd be good for us to learn. She sometimes takes 1 or 2 hours with a person before she leads them to Christ. You read her little articles, and sometimes she goes out for 2 hours. She said she's old and got all time, the time of day. If they really get saved, doesn't matter, it takes 5 hours. Her director used to get upset with her. She took so long with people. She'd listen to that, and then she'd talk and talk. And you know what? I noticed lately, and she'll just give the gospel so much until they say, well, can't you stop so I can get saved? I need to get saved. Well, wouldn't that be good? I read another article of another service from Center down here in San Antonio. And the same thing. The fellow was saying, well, I'm so happy you finally finished. He said, boy, I need to get saved. Oh, I get excited about that. That doesn't do anything for you. Shame on you. I get excited. Boy, I read that little book all the way down to Mexico with Brother Martin. He said, you need to go to the service center work, Brother Harvey. Boy, I got so excited about that. I had tears in my eyes all the way down to the Yucatan Peninsula and all the way back. Read that little thing. And by the time Brother Martin came back, he was all fired up too. Amen. Soul winning is a wonderful thing. I mean, when it really is real. I'll tell you, when someone says, would you please stop? I need to get saved. Oh boy, he said, would you like to go in the prayer room and get this settled with the Lord? Oh, I've been wanting you to say that, yes. Oh boy, I'd like to see something like that. I'll tell you, when God talks someone into salvation, they're getting ready to get saved. When we talk them into it, sometimes it's nothing happening at all. And all our fancy words aren't going to do it. It's the power of God. Through the power of this word, it's going to change people. God's going to put a hunger in their heart to be saved too. Well, I was asking about being saved before I got saved, and I'd heard it for years. But oh, when God started working, I started craving and saying, how do I get saved? What's this born again mean? And then they told me 100 times. I think they must have told me 1,000 times what it meant. But I was just starting to get hungry. It was just like a water off a duck's back over here. I was so proud of Jack Harvey, and I was so wonderful, and I was the best little Methodist on two feet. I was proud of myself. Man, I didn't smoke. I didn't drink. I was so good. I didn't tell dirty stories. I didn't like cursing. Didn't do any cursing. Well, I'll tell you, when I started getting hungry to get saved, I thought I was the lowest thing. And I needed God. I wanted to know how to get saved. The Methodist that camp couldn't tell me. So God opened my heart, took me to a Baptist camp, Bible camp, Central New York Baptist camp, Binghamton, New York, GARBC camp, got saved. About the GARBC. I got saved at their camp in 20 good ones, amen. Thank God they preached the Bible. I don't know who preached that night. The Holy Ghost preached to me that night. Met a fellow in North Carolina, had the only independent Baptist church, only GARBC church in Rocky Mount, Brother Carapel. His wife's passed away now, Brother George. And I told him about getting saved. He said, you know, I might have been preaching that time you got saved, because I used to speak at that camp up there when I was in New York. I said, it might have been you, might have been someone else. I don't remember who it was. God was talking to me. I got saved. I'm glad. My heart was prepared before that. God worked and saved my soul. We better get excited about it because we need patience. And here it says, what is he? He died to the fear of man. You better die to the fear of man. And then Abraham.
Abraham died to ambitions. He came out of the Ur of the Chaldees. He went out not knowing whither he went.
Oh, when we get to the place, well, we'll be like Abraham, the father of the faithful. Father of faith, the friend of God.
Where we'll just obey God as He speaks to our heart and go out. No, I don't care where it is. I'm going where God wants me to go. Or God, He'll direct you around. Okay, you won't have any trouble. Listen, I volunteered for so many things. I volunteered to be a missionary to China when I was just newly saved. And the doors of China weren't even open.
Well, I could go now, couldn't I? Maybe I could go over there somehow. You still have to be a worker to go over there. I don't know. But I volunteered when the doors were shut. What if a guy volunteered to go to Russia? I never did feel burdened about necessarily going to Russia, but I did about China, maybe the books I read. But man alive, if you've been volunteered for Russia, now the doors are open. You ever volunteer?
Boy, some of you at work, boy, you volunteer for everything. Some of you trying to hide.
Well, some of you volunteer for everything.
Listen, I volunteer for every mission field. I'd go to Mexico tomorrow. God told me. I went down there 16 days and it gave me a burden for Mexico. But I'm not going. My son-in-law's going. I'm glad he's going. But I'm not going down there. God didn't leave me down there. Oh, I got a greater burden to see someone else go down there. All that brown gold down there. Amen. I said, Brother Harold, I said, you see that brown gold down there? He said, what? I said, Brother Harvey, what do you mean? Over at Tijuana. I said, that little brown boy over there. I said, that's precious gold for Jesus. Harold, put that. Skip a track. Okay. Amen. We got black gold, yellow gold, brown gold.
We got some white gold. I think there's more black and brown. More brown gold, isn't it, than there's black gold or
white gold, isn't it?
I'm talking about people. Are there more brown people in the world than there are black or white?
Are there? Come on, now, does anybody know anything around here?
I think it's more brown people, isn't it? Well, the Orientals are more Chinese. I know it's 2 billion. How many billion there? 800 million in India. 800 some million. I'm going to go to India and preach one of these days if I live long enough or Jesus doesn't come back. I'm going to go. Someone said,
you want to go to India? That's the dirtiest. I said, God spoke to my heart. I'm going to go just preach the Bible. And I thought I had to learn use an interpreter. And he said, oh, it's English over there. I said, hey, man, I know I'm going now.
Just get the money, I'm going. He said, you spent $2,000 and go over and preach for a month in India? Yes, I would. Preach the gospel, get a greater burden for people when they're so hungry over there. George Carroll Peller, the same fellow, said, I went to India. Brother Hobby said, you should have gone. He pastored in the States all his life. He said, I went over there. And he said, it was so, he said, they had this wraparound stairway and the people were up there. They couldn't even see the preacher. He said, I went up there. I just had to see the people. He said, it stunk so bad, I couldn't stand. People were so dirty. Unclean. He said, Brother Harvey, tried to Baptist Jones University. Brother Carapelli had a little display there. He said, Brother Harvey, he said, you ought to go. He said, oh, they were so hungry for the Bible. Oh, they listened by the hours and want more. And listened by the hours and the hours. He said, oh, America, we're so cold and indifferent and full of the world, he said.
Did say that vivaciously. George doesn't get excited about it.
But he said, you ought to go, you ought to go. Oh, he said, I want to go back. He said, oh, it doesn't matter how you preach, just as long as you're preaching the Bible. He said, they just eat it up. He said, they stayed there and couldn't even see the speaker. Listen for hours up there. I saw the hunger down in Mexico. And I tell you, he said, they stayed to go into Bethany, they stayed to go into Asia. And what? The Spirit forbade them and said, what? Then they got the Macedonian to come over and help us. Come over and help us, people. I'll tell you, you can have all these nasty people. And I try to win them too, amen. I'll tell you, some people say, oh, help us, help us. I need to know Jesus. I'd like to be saved. I want to know the truth. I try to direct people down in the southern hemisphere of this South America, in these areas. There's such a hunger there. Well, you're going to have to die to the fear of man, die to your own plans, your own plan, your own ambitions. And then you need to die to position. Moses died to position. Boy, he had a great job and a great position. Didn't anybody die to? He said, I want to be a computer expert. I preached this morning on John the Baptist, how great John the Baptist was. You know what? John the Baptist was a preacher. He was a repentance preacher. He demanded repentance, or he wouldn't baptize him.
Wasn't he a...
Boy, he scathed them, didn't he? Well, he really scorched them and scathed them. He loved them too. Boy, he preached hard, didn't he? And God said to him, what then would... What went ye out for to see? A reed shaken in the wind? What went ye out for to see?
God's Spirit led them out there. To hear this man dressed in what? Camel's hair and all kinds of things and eating locusts and wild honey. But he was a Nazarite unto God, amen? I believe John the Baptist was ever... I believe he had long hair. I believe he was like Samuel. Samson. I believe that John the Baptist was a Nazarite all his days. What did you go out for to see? We read this morning, none greater born a woman than John. He's a preacher. I think the greatest thing you can watch your boy to do is to preach.
I know God can't direct everybody to preach, but he can direct a whole bunch of them to preach if we get interested in getting some preachers.
Pray you therefore the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers into his harvest. I'd like to see a little Wayne be a preacher. He looks like a little at times. He's ready. He's halfway there now. And mom and daddy love Jesus, love the Bible.
Man, encourage him. Don't encourage him to make big money. You know what he want to do when he gets old? All he want to do, Brother Strick, is make money.
And the love of money is the root of all evil. No, get him to love God so much he want to preach. If he can't, God doesn't call him. He want to support everyone else and make sure they get there. Amen. And drain all his money out to get them there. And pray and pray and be a prayer warrior. I tell you what, God's calling out so many missionaries out of this church, I get excited.
I'll tell you. Three right there. Amen. You're next, brother. You better get right.
Amen. Two over here. And the rest of you better watch out.
Brother Strickland, it gets exciting, amen. Boy, I think that wasn't it the word to God, all the Lord's servants were prophets. Isn't that what they said? You remember when Saul prophesied? I think that's the place. But we're all priests. We're all halfway there.
Even the ladies, by the way.
All should be witnesses, shouldn't we? Hey, I tell you, it's a great joy to me to have my daughter married to a fellow who's planning on going to Mexico to be a missionary. And what thrills me is he's been faithful, soul winning in visitation and faithful to his local church. I think you'll do fine out there as steadfast as he is.
I'll tell you what, it was a pleasure. Don't get me wrong. He could go haywire just like anybody else. But it was nice that the mission board wrote me.
He put my name down. I said it just as objectively as I can say. And not because he's my son-in-law. I said he's one of the finest Christian men I know. Dedicated, separated Christian, my son. He led my daughter to Jesus during family devotions. And I got through that, and I said to myself, if I thought I could conscientiously, with a clear mind and heart, and over the phone when he talked to me as well, before I got the phone, I said, brother, I know he's my son-in-law, but I said he's a fine Christian. He did. Boy, what a thrill to even be able to say that. There's so many rascals around, amen? What a thrill.
Does it pay to live for Jesus? I think so. Yeah. When I can give a report like that about my son-in-law, I almost give a better report of him than I could even my own daughter. I gave her a pretty good report, too. I told him some of the bad things to do, though. But I give a very sweet kind of thing. You wouldn't do that. I'll do just what I said. I did it objectively. Amen. I said, she's one of the kindest girls I know. Sweet, she talks too much like her dad. I put it because she's like her dad. Right on the form, I did that. He said, you wouldn't do that. I just did. I did. Set it off the same day.
She's got a lot of good points, too. He said, well, you don't know Ray as well as you do your dog. That's probably true, too. But I'll tell you, he's a fine Christian. You just be around people while you find out if they are, too. It's good to be saved, isn't it? Amen. You better die to the world, though. If you get full of the world, you'll be no good to God, no use to God. Look at Samson. Here we have these heroes of the faith, and our time's about gone already. It is gone. Well, I've got to wrap it up here. Let's just look at a few of these and we'll close. By the way, we're to die to all these things, but if you get into chapter 12, we're to live under Christ. He goes on and he tells about Christ. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. We're to die to ourselves and die to the world and our own desires, and we're to live unto Christ. Our faith is in Christ. But here it says, just these heroes, let's go through them quickly. Verse 33, who through faith subdued kingdoms. Joshua did. So did Samson. Subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness. And of course, Samson began to deliver the Philistines out of the hands of the children of Israel, out of the hands of the Philistines. He never did completely deliver them out, but he began to do that. Great man of God, Samson. And then Joshua, of course, great victories. He subdued 31 kingdoms when he came over Jericho. I mean, over Jordan into Canaan land. I think it's maybe the two on the other side are counted in there, but there were 31 nations destroyed. He's the type of the Lord Jesus, our great victor. He's the victor. Stop the mouth of lions. That must be Daniel. He's talking about these ones. Remember in the verse before? Look at verse 32. And what shall I say more? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah and of David also and Samuel and of the prophets. And then who through faith subdued kings. Through subdued kings, wrought righteousness. And then I think it's speaking about Daniel there, three Hebrew children. What does it say? Quenched the violence of fire. Boy, they got thrown into the furnace, didn't they? But the fire sure didn't even bother their hose with. Stockings didn't even get burned. Not the smell of smoke upon them. Because the fourth one in there was like unto the Son of God. Jesus goes in the fire with you. You won't smell like the flesh or hellfire. You'll smell like heaven. Amen? Like a rose of heaven or the lily of the valley. They came out of there not even the smell of smoke. Those other ones who threw them in got burned up just from the seven times high. Made those furnaces. Seven times. My. It was ever wont to be made. And then what does it say? Quench the violence of fire. Escape the edge of the sword. Jeremiah. Out of weakness were made strong. Jephthah. Waxed valiant in fight. Turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Gideon. Women received... they're dead, raised to life again.